Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Today is Wednesday, September the 16th. And today we're going to talk about how we can let go of anger and stress. You know, if you've been listening to the show, you've been hearing me talk about my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. Well, I thought today would be the day we start talking about this a little bit more. You're going to hear more on this topic in the weeks to come. But today I went on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio, began a 10-part series on the book. I was also chatting with Gus Lloyd on his program Seize the Day on Sirius XM Satellite Radio about this book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. And I thought maybe it's a good day today to start just giving you an outline of what this book is about. It's a Holy Spirit book. This book is about the power of the Holy Spirit and how through the work of the Spirit, you and me, we can be able to let go of anger and stress. I want to tell you now, I'll remind you later in the show, but if you want to get the book, if you go on Amazon, technically the book, although it's listed as the number one best seller or new release in adult Catholic Christian ministry, which is really cool. It's an honor for that to be the case. According to my publisher, the book is going to take a few weeks to get into Amazon's distribution system. So if you order it from, if you pre-order from Amazon, it's going to take you a little while to get it yet. But if you go directly to the publisher, Ave Maria Press, their website is AveMariaPress.com, and you order it from them, you can get the book at a 20% discount with free shipping. And the book is in the warehouse and it is ready to ship. Even though it says it's a pre-order, Ave Maria has the book in stock. I've got mine in the mail the other day. They are available and they will ship immediately. Now, in order to get the 20% discount and the free shipping, what you need to do is when you're checking out, specify the promo code LETGO. That's L-E-T-G-O. I'm assuming it's all uppercase. I don't know if it makes a difference, but I would use all uppercase, L-E-T-G-O, let go. Specify that as the promo code when you check out, and you will get the book for a 20% discount plus free shipping. That's a really good deal, and I've been told that the book's ready to go, so they are ready to start shipping. You order it today, and you should get the book in a few days. So let go of anger and stress. Go to AveMariaPress.com. Order the book directly from them. They're the publisher. And you're going to get the book very soon. So we'll talk about that today. We will talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I really want you to understand just how powerful the Holy Spirit is. You know, we try to do these things on our own. We try to give up worry. And in the end, that we do bear a certain portion of the responsibility. But when we try, when we try to live the Christian life by willpower alone, we're going to eventually run into trouble and we're going to run out of steam and we're not going to be successful. So this book is about letting the Holy Spirit work in your life, and through the Spirit, you're going to be able to do a lot more than if you just try to do all this stuff on your own. That's what we're going to talk about today, and I'm really glad that you're able to join me. I'm really glad that that tickle in my throat is starting to leave now. Now, today, it figures, right? Normally, I have my beverage with me. I got some water or some coffee or something. I got nothing today, so I cannot have a tickle in my throat because I have no way to get rid of it. So thank you, Lord, for helping me out. So settle in, relax, make yourself comfortable. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and we're going to talk about this, how we can let go of anger and stress. But before we go any further, let's turn to our Father in heaven and ask for his help, his blessing. Let's give him some praise, some glory, some honor right now as we turn to him and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day. We thank you, Father, for creating us out of nothing. Father, we thank you for all of the many ways that you bless us every day of our lives. We thank you for giving us air to breathe. We thank you for letting our hearts continue to beat. Father, we thank you for being able to address you in prayer. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, this day, in addition to presenting to you all of our needs, spiritual, material, whatever they may be, we're going to give those to you. We will also ask you for a special outpouring of your Spirit this day. And we invite your Spirit into us. Even though the Spirit first enters our soul when we are baptized, we constantly need to ask and give. We ask for a new outpouring and give the Spirit permission to work in our lives. So we do that, Father. We ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us, and we invite the Spirit to work in us, to give me the words for this program, and to give all of us an open mind so that we can hear and be willing to respond to your words. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, Father, thank you for praying with me. Man, I'm still focused on the Heavenly Father. Thank you for praying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Beautiful day here in southern New Jersey. Hope it's well. Hope it's nice where you are. Man, you know, I continue to pray for everyone affected by the wildfires on the West Coast. I'm hearing some really tough reports, as well as my friends on the Gulf Coast who are dealing with this hurricane. Boy, it's some nasty weather going on. So if you are listening from any of those places, know that you are in my prayers. I can't imagine how tough it must be to deal with those threats. It's at times like that when we recognize how little control we have and how much dependence on God we are on God. But just know that you're in my prayers if you are in any of those areas. And know if you're a listener to this program, you are in my prayers. I do want to thank you for responding to my request for increased donations, for letting you. I let you know the past couple of days, both through the daily email devotional and through this program, that donations are really down, and I need your help right now. So I thank you for responding. If you have not yet done so and you intend to, please do so, because I could really use the additional funding right now to keep my ministry going. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate, and you can make a one-time secure donation through PayPal, or you can sign up to be a monthly subscriber. Got a few new monthly subscribers too, and that really helps me. So thank you for that. Again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to donate to my ministry, and simply click on donate, and then you'll be told what to do. And thank you. I'm really grateful for that. Okay. Let's talk about letting go of anger and stress. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of stress. You might be feeling it right now. I certainly see it all around me. I see incredible anger. And everybody seems to be angry with everybody else. And I see a lot of stress. People are stressed by the pandemic. They're getting angry because of what's going on. They're getting angry because of regulations. We are all in need of the Holy Spirit to come in us and really help us. So I thought today we'd just go through a brief overview. At some point, I'll get into a little more detail about each of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I think we need to address them. But today, I just want to give you a brief overview so that you can get an idea of what my book is about, but more importantly, what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Certainly, I want you to buy the book. I think there's good information in there. I think it'll help you. I think it can be life-changing. But you don't have to buy the book. You know, I'll give you what you need. I don't want to turn this into a sales pitch, although I write what I write in order to help people. I believe that what I write will help you, but maybe you can't afford the book. So I don't want you to feel obligated that I'm only going to give you a tease. I'm going to give you what you need on this program, but I do think the book will help you. So if you are so inclined, if you'd like to read the book, I really think it's going to benefit you. But let's just get started. Let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And I think a good place to begin is with the words as recorded by St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, the words of Jesus when he told his followers in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I don't know about you, but for a long time, I was not feeling any power, even though the Holy Spirit came upon me many decades ago when I was baptized. And that's that the Holy Spirit was strengthened when I was confirmed. But I wasn't feeling the power. And, you know, like, we look at this word power. The word power gets used very frequently. And it's almost downplayed. I saw a powerful movie. I had a power nap. I went out on a power lunch. You know, we use this term all the time. But in order to get an understanding of what Jesus meant when he said to his followers, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you got to look to the Greek manuscript. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek. So the Greek word used by St. Luke when he wrote the Acts of the Apostles for power in Acts 1 verse 8, the Greek word was dunamis. And that particular word is the root of the English word dynamite. So we're talking about an explosive power. And when it's used at other times in the New Testament, there is also that implication that this is a serious power. This is not a wimpy Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as a sort of a feel-good, as the feel-good God. You know, the dove, the fire, the wind. We don't think of him as power. But that's what Jesus promised. And if we look at the early church, and we see evidence of this in the Acts of the Apostles, when we look at what the Holy Spirit did in the early church, we see legitimate power. We see the apostles, who were cowards, who never understood anything, all of a sudden being willing to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to be willing to die for Christ. It's hard to believe these are the same guys who were cowering in fear when the Lord was crucified. They were hiding, and he had to find them when they were hiding in the upper room. But once the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they were changed, and they were filled with this power. Now, this same power is available to you and to me, but the problem is, why don't we feel it? The problem is, we are not giving the Spirit permission to work, and we are not yielding to the power of the Spirit. I mean, I know that's the case with me. And still, I invite the Holy Spirit to come alive in me each day, and I give him permission to work in my life. But even in spite of that, I still need to cooperate and yield control to the Spirit. The Spirit is not going to force his way into my life. The Spirit is not going to force his will. Not going to force his will to be done in my life. I need to give him permission. So, with that in mind, how do we do that? How do we allow the Spirit to work in our lives? The way we can do that is by saying, come Holy Spirit. I mean, or some variation of those words. Like I do at the beginning of this show when we pray. I pretty much every day say, Father, send your Spirit to give me the words for the show. The words really don't matter. What matters is the fact that you are inviting the Spirit to work in your life. And once you do that, and we'll talk a little bit about this when I go through these fruits, we'll go through all 9 fruits today briefly. What happens is you're going to be put in situations where the Spirit will kind of lead you, right? And the Spirit will help you, but ultimately, you're the one who has to make the conscious decision to follow the Spirit. I've heard it said, and I like this analogy, that the Holy Spirit is sort of a combination GPS and power steering. The GPS tells you where to turn. The power steering makes it easier to make the turn, but ultimately you're in charge. You can go the other way or stay straight if you want. And that's the way it is with life. And we look at all these fruits, they're very appealing, but they still require work on our part. And that's where I think we get ourselves into trouble sometimes. We don't want to completely follow along with the Spirit. You know, we know what we're supposed to do. We know we're going to get the help, but we don't necessarily or we're not necessarily willing to follow along. So with that in mind, let's look at the fruits. Let's just talk a little bit about each of them. These are listed in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And these are good. I mean, these fruits are very appealing. And if you want to know if the Spirit is working in your life, you got to look at this list of fruits and ask, if somebody was to describe me, would they use these words to describe me and my life? And when I look at them, I think, wow, in some cases, maybe. But I definitely have work to do. And that's a good thing. Because as I was discussing with Gus Lloyd today, in order for the Spirit to work, to begin his transformation process, to begin transforming me into the image of Jesus, I've got to first recognize that there's a problem. And for all of us, to different degrees, there are problems. There are areas where we're not yielding to the Spirit, where the Spirit is not working sufficiently in us, right? There's things we can do to improve. So let's look at these fruits of the Spirit. Again, these are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. What is love? Now, you know, we live in a world where love is associated with a feeling. And if you Google the word love, you're going to get that. Love is a feeling. I am in love. I am feeling love. I love my wife. I love my girlfriend. I love my mother. And a lot of times, this love is associated with a feeling. Love's not a feeling. Love is a conscious decision. Love, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is to will the good of another. It's a conscious decision which leads to some sort of an action. It is not a feeling. Now, that doesn't mean that feelings are not associated with love. Oftentimes, they are. But this is what's important for us to know. I can still love somebody. When Jesus said to love my enemy, he didn't mean for me to have good feelings about my enemy. He implied that there was a conscious decision and action required. So I can still love somebody and not like them. Now, one of the things I mentioned in the book is that we need to come up with a way to better appreciate people, so that we can start to develop some sort of feelings for them. Again, you don't have to like them. They don't have to be your best friends. But you have to find a way to look at people and see their value, to see them as God sees them. Because eventually, if you don't like somebody and you don't do anything to try to make yourself care more about that person, you're going to just reach a point where you don't want to love them. You're going to be having a bad day. You're going to be fed up. And you will not be willing to do what it takes to love that person. So these are all things that we need to work on. We pray for these fruits. We say, come Holy Spirit, right? And we will get help. The Holy Spirit will tell us, you got to love this person who drives you crazy. The Holy Spirit will make it easier for you to love that person. And oftentimes, that just means praying for that person. You know, you don't have to go out and take them to dinner. But maybe you will be able to do some nice things for them. But ultimately, it's up to you. And typically, if you are weak in the love area, you're going to be tested by having some pretty unlovable people sent your way. And this is the way it's going to work for each of the fruits of the Spirit. We don't just automatically become more loving. We're generally put in a situation where we're going to be challenged to love people, to do some nice things for those around us. It could be the people in your household. Even if we don't feel like it. That's what love is. We love God by praying when we don't feel like it. That's an act of love. You're not always going to feel in love with God. Some days I feel it. Some days I don't. Some days I'm really flat when I pray. But as an act of love for God, I pray anyway. You know, I've often given the analogy, it's like changing the diapers of your babies when they're young. If you're a parent, you get that. I didn't like it, but with twins, Eileen and I both had to get into action sometimes in the middle of the night. None of us were ecstatic about it. We didn't like it at all. But we did it because we loved our kids. Let me go through the rest of these fruits, and we'll just spend a little bit of time on each of them. I don't want to go overboard. The second fruit is joy. What's joy? Joy is a response to the Lord's presence within us. And it's not dependent on external circumstances, and it's not what's known as pleasure. Pleasure is when we react. I eat some good food. That really feels good. It makes me feel good. That's pleasure. Beautiful day outside, pleasure. But joy is a response to the presence of the Trinity within me. And the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And where one person of the Trinity is, they're all there. So they're all with me. And that's the joy. I choose to rejoice because God is present. And it sounds a little weird, doesn't it? Because we don't normally think of joy being that way. Let's look at peace. Peace is a sense or a serenity, a sense of serenity or tranquility. Peace keeps the mind untroubled in the face of trials. That's what peace is. It's this sense of serenity or tranquility. You might not feel peaceful, but it's a certain calmness that exists in your mind oftentimes, knowing that God's in charge. I don't know how, but this will work out. And that's what peace is. It's internal. Again, not the absence of conflict. Doesn't mean everything has to be perfect for you to be peaceful. The supernatural peace given to us through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, does not mean that everything in your life is working out perfectly externally. You can have problems and still experience the peace of the Holy Spirit. The fourth fruit is patience. What's patience? Well, I would say it's a willingness to wait on God, on circumstances, on others, and on ourselves. You know, we get impatient with ourselves all the time. I can't believe I fell victim to that same sin again. When am I ever going to get better? That's being impatient with ourselves. So through the Spirit, we can learn to be patient with ourselves. We can learn to be patient with our circumstances. I'll tell you, this COVID-19 crisis, this pandemic, is really testing my patience. And I bet it's testing your patience as well. Because this thing, the more it drags on, the more impatient we become. So there's a great need for the fruit of patience in our lives. Patience with God. I've been praying for this for months and nothing is happening. Well, are you willing to be patient? Are you willing to let the Spirit help you to be more patient? The fifth fruit is kindness. What's kindness? Kindness, I would say, is mercy in action. It's categorized by patience and by mercy. And it flows from unconditional love. Mercy in action. So an example of kindness is when the Lord forgives our sins. We go to confession, we confess our sins, we are absolved, and we're free. That's mercy. The fact that you're still alive is God being merciful. That's an example of kindness. It's mercy in action. How about the sixth fruit? Goodness. Goodness is godlike behavior. It's doing the right thing. That's tough, isn't it? So many times we are not good. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. We say that, but what does it mean? It means God is good. He sets the example for us. And through the Holy Spirit's work, through this fruit of the Holy Spirit, goodness, we are able to behave like Jesus behaved. But sometimes we don't want to, but we have the ability. The seventh fruit is faithfulness, keeping your promises. How many times do you start to pray, or you say, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray every day. And then you skip a day, or two, or three, or four. When I used to go to the gym and work out many years ago, I would do really well up until the point where I'd have one day where I didn't feel like going. And then I just gave up. That's the way I was. I am not especially a faithful, I'm not a really good faithful person. I'm working on it, but this is where the Holy Spirit can help us to be faithful. God is faithful. If He's promised something, He's going to follow up. He's going to live up to that promise. So many times we are not faithful. The eighth fruit is gentleness. A good description of gentleness is not meekness. It's not weakness, I should say. It's not being wimpy. Gentleness, I like to describe as power under control. Jesus had all the power in the world, but he controlled that power. He didn't go around zapping people and showing them how powerful he was. He was meek. He was gentle. He controlled that power. Just because you have the authority to boss somebody around doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And through gentleness, you can control your power and use it to really help people and love them. The ninth fruit and the final fruit is self-control. It's basically a matter of controlling your passions. Not always giving into your wants. I want this and I want it now. It's a matter of self-control. Controlling your passions, your desires. We struggle with that, but the Holy Spirit can help us. So there you are. The nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Through the help of the Spirit and our cooperation with the Holy Spirit, our life can start to show those fruits. And when we do, we're going to look like Jesus. That's the goal. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk more about it. I'm just about out of time now. But remember, if you want to find out more, you want to really dig into this, I do a full chapter on each of these fruits in the book. Let Go of Anger and Stress is currently shipping from Ave Maria Press. Just go to AveMariaPress.com and use the promo code LETGO, L-E-T-G-O, at checkout, and you'll get free shipping plus a 20% discount. Hope you enjoyed today's program, and I look forward to being back with you here tomorrow, God willing, on the Thursday edition of Following the Truth. As always, if you have questions, you can email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. And I really thank you for listening to the show. I thank you for being here for me. Again, thanks for the donations. If you want to donate, keep the ministry going, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Just click on donate and you will be all set. Have a wonderful day. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me if you would too. And I really hope to be able to be back with you here tomorrow on the Thursday edition of Following the Truth. God bless you. Talk to you next time.